You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. Tennessee's basketball team will get back on the court tonight on the road against Ole Miss. I think it's probably a good thing for Tennessee to get back out there, play basketball, try to get a win. It would be a nice win for Tennessee if the Vols can beat Ole Miss, a team that is absolutely expected to go to the NCAA tournament. So tonight, Tennessee will play Ole Miss and then get ready for Kentucky coming up on Saturday. Here in the first segment, you'll hear from Rick Barnes talking about Ole Miss. I have a quick update for you in the SEC with Kentucky and LSU playing last night. Kentucky was in danger of going down last night. The Wildcats came back against Arkansas, so I'll update you on some things there. Matt Norlander of CBSSports.com weighing in on the top three teams in the SEC, how he maybe sees things playing out there, and Duke goes down on Tuesday night. So I'll get to all of that here in segment number one. In segment number two, Nick Suss of the Clarion Ledger is going to join the show. He covers Ole Miss, so he'll tell you what you need to know about Tennessee's opponent coming up tonight. And then the NFL Draft Combine is getting started here this week. A stat about Tennessee that further indicates expectations are going up in 2019 with what Tennessee has coming back. I'll get to that in the third segment of today's show. It's Locked On Vols, your team every day, 5 days a week here covering what's going on with Tennessee. You can find the show pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts, on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, and your smart speaker. It's Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I've said the last few days, Tennessee needs to work on fixing some of its own issues. Officiating has been a big part of the conversation. But Tennessee has not played well enough. It has not been itself the last couple of games. Well, against LSU, against Kentucky, and even the Vanderbilt game. Tennessee offensively struggled to hit shots. Tennessee was better on the defensive end. Maybe it was helped by the fact that it was playing Vanderbilt, a winless team in the SEC. Ole Miss is a team that's pretty good on both sides. If you look at the Rebels, they're ranked number 43 in the KenPom rankings and top 55 in both adjusted offensive and defensive rankings. KenPom has Ole Miss at number 39 on offense, number 55 on defense. Neither is great, but both are pretty good. By comparison, Tennessee is number 2 in adjusted offensive ranking, and then 41st in adjusted defense. Tennessee needs to be better on the defensive side. It's been repeated over and over again. Here's what Rick Barnes said when he was asked about what stands out about Ole Miss, which has been one of the surprise teams in the league this year, really in all of college basketball. Here's Rick Barnes talking about Tennessee's opponent coming up tonight.
Well, I think they're defending at a very high level. You know, they're going to change defenses. You know, they like their 1-3-1 back to and they can change different defenses out of it, and they just want to see how you can handle that. They play a fast-paced game, and what I mean by that, I think their offense, there was a lot of speed brought to it, and two terrific guards have played, you know, really good basketball, and Kermit's done a great job stepping in with Andy Kennedy when, you know, I had so much respect for Andy and what he did, and I think Kermit would be the first to tell you that he was able to inherit some good players, and he's done a terrific job with them. Again, they're a terrific team. They're as good as anybody that will play, and they've proven they can play with anybody in the country.
So Rick Barnes is reminding his team, hey, this is a good basketball team. They do a lot of things well. It shows up on film, and Tennessee opened as about a 4.5-point favorite against Ole Miss. The message being there, Tennessee's the better team. This is a winnable game, though, for Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is going to be fired up. This would be a huge win for the Rebels. They picked up some nice wins this season in conference over Auburn and Mississippi State. That has really boosted the resume for Ole Miss. But beating Tennessee would secure a spot and might help move Ole Miss up when it comes to seeding in the NCAA tournament. So that's a big part of the conversation for Ole Miss is we have a top 10 team coming in. They're a little bit vulnerable. Let's take advantage tonight. That's going to be the thought on that side. On Tennessee's side, the Vols are trying to keep pace in the SEC because on Tuesday night, Kentucky rallied against Arkansas. The Wildcats were down double digits at halftime against Arkansas, but Tyler Hero had a huge game, 29 points for Kentucky to help lead the Wildcats back, so they avoid a scare at Rupp Arena and beat Arkansas. And then LSU took care of business against Texas A&M. And right now, Tennessee needs some help from LSU if Tennessee wants to win an SEC championship outright in the regular season, because Tennessee and LSU have the same record and they will not play again. So Tennessee cannot beat LSU. Tennessee will play Kentucky on Saturday. So if the Vols win tonight against Ole Miss and then beat Kentucky on Saturday, Tennessee stays ahead of Kentucky in the SEC standings. LSU does not have the toughest schedule remaining, but road games at Florida and Alabama will not be easy. Alabama won at South Carolina last night. The Crimson Tide are trying to get into the NCAA tournament, and beating LSU should put Alabama in. So LSU is not guaranteed to win out, even though it does have a, quote, easier path than Tennessee does. Tennessee has Ole Miss, Kentucky, Mississippi State at home, Auburn on the road to close out SEC play this season. Tennessee has a lot of work to do. This was a topic on the Eye on College Basketball podcast that Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander do. It's a really good podcast. If you want to get some national college basketball coverage, they do a really good job. But this is what Matt Norlander said when he was talking about the SEC race. Now, this conversation took place before last night's game, so Matt will mention that the three teams are tied. Actually, Kentucky and LSU right now are a half game ahead of Tennessee, but the point remains the same. Listen to what Matt Norlander of CBS Sports said about the three-team race that is there in the SEC right now.
The SEC, like the ACC, is now a three-team tie atop the league standings. Tennessee has now dropped its two most recent games, both against, by the way, the two best teams not named Tennessee in the SEC. I think a lot of teams, not all, but plenty of teams would have lost if they had to go play at Kentucky and then had to play at LSU. So they're all now 12-2 in the league. LSU is positioned well to finish atop the league standings now because its remaining games are A&M, Bama, Florida, Vanderbilt. Guess what? None of those teams are above 500 in SEC play. Meanwhile, Kentucky and Tennessee schedules are tougher than that, not to mention when you include the fact they have to play each other. So I think the eventual outcome here is I think Kentucky's playing the best of any team in the SEC right now, but I think that Kentucky will lose at Tennessee, and what will happen is Tennessee and LSU will share the end of the regular season championship, and Kentucky will be one game behind, and then go watch this, and then watch Kentucky win the SEC tournament championship. And when that happens, if that all breaks out just the way that it did, you're going to have all three of those teams have a really, really strong shot at the two line or better. I think the floor for LSU at that point is a three, similar to Tennessee. So things are getting really interesting in a hurry. It's been a long time since the SEC had these three teams that were so strong at the top of the league, you know, viable Final Four contender.
I agree with a lot of what Matt Norlander said there, talking about Tennessee, LSU, and Kentucky. They're all really good. I still think at their best, Kentucky and Tennessee should be better than LSU, but LSU won at Rupp a couple of weeks ago, and LSU just beat Tennessee without Tremont Waters playing, with Naj Reid having one of the worst games he'll have at LSU. They still found a way to get a win in overtime against what is a really good Tennessee basketball team. And I actually said on Sunday on the Sports Source TV show that I think Tennessee and LSU end up splitting the SEC regular season title. But let's see. Any scenario could play out. If Kentucky wins in Knoxville on Saturday, well, that's going to be really tough for Tennessee to win the SEC. And to win it outright, again, Tennessee needs some help. And Tennessee cannot assume it's going to beat Mississippi State or Auburn. Let's see how things play out. There are a number of different ways. But all three teams, I think right now, are going to be receiving a lot of respect heading into the NCAA tournament. Those are three legitimately, I believe, really good basketball teams, Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU. LSU does have to deal with the distraction, if it is one, of the NCAA investigation that could be coming with this whole FBI probe and the connection with Will Wade, LSU's head coach. It did not seem to affect LSU on Tuesday night, though, so right now I don't know how much to make of that. Also on Tuesday night, I mentioned Duke went down against Virginia Tech. Now, it was on the road, and Zion Williamson did not play, but it's another loss on the resume for Duke. And with Duke losing to North Carolina last week and then dropping to number three in the polls and losing last night, there is a slide there for the Blue Devils. If Zion comes back, that will be the main thing that the NCAA tournament selection committee will consider, but these losses count. They do. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports noted that last night. There was a question, okay, if Zion comes back, is the committee going to kind of throw out the losses to these teams without Zion playing? And the answer is no, they'll still count. So that can give Tennessee an opportunity to jump back up to a one seed. If Tennessee wins tonight and then wins Saturday against Kentucky, I think there's a good chance next week that in the projections, Tennessee will be back up on the one seed line. Right now, Tennessee is considered probably the top number two seed, with Kentucky being a one seed. Saturday's game could play a big role there as well. So a lot is going on with Tennessee. Coming up next, what you need to know about Tennessee's next opponent. Ole Miss has had a really good season. How has it come together for the Rebels? Nick Suss of the Clarion Ledger will tell you right here on Locked On Vols. And coming up on Thursday's show, I'm going to get a mailbag section into the show. So if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to send to me, I'm on Twitter at Josh_Ward. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/Josh Ward. I'm going to get some Tennessee football and basketball in on Thursday's show. We'll start to look ahead to Kentucky. But if you want to send me any mailbag questions, please do. Questions and comments are always welcome for Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So I want to welcome to the show now Nick Suss. He is the beat writer for the Clarion Ledger covering Ole Miss. Nick, I really appreciate the time. It's been a good season for Ole Miss. First season there with Kermit Davis as the head coach, hired away from Middle Tennessee. Why do you think things have gone so well in year one with Kermit Davis as the coach there?
I mean, the easiest answer is guard play. Brian Tyree and Terrence Davis have the highest combined scoring output of any two players in SEC play this season, narrowly edging out some guys out in Knoxville that your listeners are going to be pretty familiar with. Guard play has been huge between those two and point guard Devontae Shuler. That might be the best three-headed combination of guards you'll find in the conference, and those three veteran guys have really led this team. But it's also been Kermit Davis does a really good job of blending his defenses. They rotate between a 1-3-1 and a 2-3 and man, depending on the situations they're given, depending on the types of offenses they're playing against. And there have been some teams this year, Auburn in particular comes to mind, that are really productive offensive teams that have really struggled with the way that Ole Miss has mixed and matched defenses. If you combine those two things with the fact that this is a pretty veteran team with really only two freshmen who have been significantly contributing, the veterans have embraced Kermit Davis's ideology. They're playing good defense. The guard play is really strong, and they seem to have overcome some of their weaknesses that are they don't play super well on the post. They're not a great rebounding team, but because of the way they shoot and play defense, they've gotten out to what looks like it's going to be a 20-win season.
Yeah, when you look at this matchup against Tennessee with Ole Miss getting ready to host the Vols, what do the guards need to do you think, in this game? How important will their role be in whether they can pull off the win against a top 10 team?
Oh, I mean, I think that's pretty much what it's going to come down to with every game Ole Miss has against a tournament-caliber team. They took down Auburn twice this year. They've split against Mississippi State. They obviously lost against LSU, lost against Florida, South Carolina they lost against. When they win these games, it's because the guards shoot light out and because they're forcing a lot of turnovers and scoring a lot of points off of turnovers. I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's over their last 7 or 8 games, Ole Miss is averaging almost 20 points per game off of turnovers. That has been the indicator of when the team and when the guards are getting out in transition and forcing these points off of turnovers and neutralizing what the other team wants to do tempo-wise, that's when Ole Miss is able to succeed. But you look at losses against South Carolina and Florida. Florida loves to play slow. Florida got the game slow. Ole Miss couldn't beat them at their game. South Carolina loves to play fast. Ole Miss couldn't stop them from playing fast. Ole Miss couldn't beat them at their game. Tennessee's tempo is probably going to be a concern as well. If Tennessee gets to dictate the tempo of the game, and I think their guards are a huge part of that, it's going to be tough for Ole Miss. But if Ole Miss can decide what the tempo is going to be, I think that they've got a shot to keep things closer than maybe they deserve to be.
Talking to Nick Suss, he covers Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger. And when I've been able to watch Ole Miss, I think the word that would come to mind would be energy. And that comes maybe back to watching them when they're able to force some turnovers, create yeah. pressure on defense, and then make plays off that. That's probably why I think that. Would that make sense?
Yeah. Well, if you want to look at the best indicator of that, go back and pop on the tape when they played Mississippi State in Starkville earlier this season. There's a freshman on this team named Blake Hinson. You might remember his brother Evan from playing at South Carolina. Blake was hitting 3 after 3, and I think this team ended up getting 3 technical fouls off of pure celebration. just the energy was riled up. They were in a hostile environment, a sellout, and they were feeding off of that. And when they have that energy, this is a team that is not just spot shooting. They're also volume shooters at times. They do have guys who are going to shoot 5, 8, 10 threes a game. When you pile those up on top of each other, and if the energy's going and if they're hitting, this is a team that's going to try to feed off of that. And then you factor in the defense. Nobody runs a 1-3-1 except for this team. And when you look at the 1-3-1, when it's working, you're getting traps up in the front court and the back court. The only place that's really open is the corner three. If you can trap it up by midcourt, that's where the energy comes from. That's where the turnovers come from. And the team really feeds off that.
Nick, how big of a deal is this game with Tennessee coming to town? With if Ole Miss were to get the win, it would be their highest seeded win or highest ranked win, I guess, for an opponent this year. They have some really nice wins that you kind of mentioned earlier. But how big of a deal, or what's the anticipation like with a top 10 team coming to town?
Well, this would be Ole Miss's first true top 10 win since 2011 and their highest ranked win since 2002. So it's worth saying, yeah, it would be pretty big. But I think it's going to be pretty hard for Ole Miss to miss the NCAA tournament at this point. They're at 19 wins. They're at 9 wins in conference. They still have a game against Missouri, a game against Arkansas remaining. If they take care of business in the games that aren't against Tennessee and Kentucky, this game might not be super significant in the grand scheme. But for a team that is still contending for that fourth double bye in the SEC tournament, every win is going to be important. This is a team that really does want to prove some of the people who voted against them wrong. This was the team picked last in the SEC preseason, much like Tennessee was last year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a team trying to do what Tennessee did and go from last in the conference to a true contender. And to pull that off, beating a team like Tennessee and then Kentucky next week coming to town, these two games are immeasurable for getting the support of a fan base here because, I mean, you know the SEC. Realistically, basketball's been the number three sport at Ole Miss for a while, and I don't know if Kermit Davis necessarily wants to keep things that way. And this is, I think, the fourth sellout of the Pavilion this year, which I think doubles the total coming into the season. It's definitely a lot of excitement, and a win in this game could really solidify basketball status on this campus.
Yeah, that tells you something about the buy-in from the fans as well. Nick, before you go, another topic on campus I'm sure this week has been before the Georgia game on Saturday, a few Ole Miss players took a knee during the national anthem. There had been a protest going on that day, right? But if you can, just kind of explain the storyline there. How big of a deal has that been, and is there any carryover, can you anticipate at least, into the Tennessee game?
Yeah, to give the Cliff Notes version, there were two pro-Confederate groups that were marching on Ole Miss's campus on Saturday in support of a couple of Confederate monuments that are still up in Oxford. While those groups were marching through Oxford, 8 Ole Miss basketball players decided to kneel during the national anthem. It was not a premeditated decision. They hadn't discussed it. It was just a couple of guys started kneeling, and then some teammates joined in solidarity. Obviously, this is a topic that has divided the country for 3 years. There are Ole Miss fans who support the players' right to protest but don't like the platform. There are Ole Miss fans who wholeheartedly support, and then there are Ole Miss fans who are wholeheartedly abandoning the program. You have all three sides of the debate, as you always would. The one thing that seems pretty evident, though, is the players and the coaches and the administration said after the game, this protest was reactionary to the marches going on outside. That makes it seem as if it will not continue on Wednesday. If it does continue, the protests stop being reactionary and become proactive. And then it's a very different conversation, and then this team comes to represent something much different in the realm of college sports, where we haven't seen as much protesting as we have in pro sports. If they don't kneel again, I do think that this is going to be an issue that sort of disappears, that they were standing up by kneeling. They were saying, we don't stand for what they described as hate groups being on campus. And that's pretty much the short version of it. I was out at the marches for 3-4 hours on Saturday, and I can tell you in excruciating detail what was going on if you'd like to hear it. But from a basketball perspective, it seems like unless it happens again, it's over.
No, it's at least something to pay attention to heading into the game. Tennessee and Ole Miss, and of course the action on the court, should be pretty good as well. He's covering it for the Clarion Ledger, clarionledger.com. He's on Twitter, at Nick Suss. Nick, really appreciate the time. Really good information. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
Coming up on Locked On Vols, a positive spin on Tennessee's absence this week at the NFL Draft Combine. That's coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols. If you do have time to rate and review the show on iTunes, that is a big help. Big thanks to everybody who has done that already. More importantly, subscribe, spread the word, tell your friends and family, anybody you might know that is a Tennessee fan, about the Daily Tennessee Podcast. I'm here 5 days a week talking about what's going on with Tennessee. I want to say welcome as well to new listeners. If you're new to Locked On Vols, I'm here 5 days a week. It's about a 20 to 30 minute show every day talking about what's going on with Tennessee. Thanks for being here on Locked On Vols. So I saw Andrew Siciliano note on Tuesday that there are only 7 Power 5 schools that do not have a single player at the NFL Scouting Combine: Arizona, California, Oregon State, Illinois, Purdue, Georgia Tech, and Tennessee. Schools like Alabama and Clemson have 11 players each. Georgia, I think, has 9 players at the Combine. Kentucky has 8 players at the Combine. Tennessee does not have any. Now, Ralph Russo, who covers college football nationally for the Associated Press, said, if you want to put a happy face on this, you can say, well, the teams that don't have players at the Combine don't have them because all their good players are coming back next season. And then he noted, Tennessee is banking on this. And I would say he's right. Next year, Tennessee should have a pretty good number of players at the Combine. And if Tennessee has a much better season on the field, then that number, as it's projected right now, could go up. There are a number of guys who are coming back for their senior or junior seasons that will have a chance to be drafted in 2020. But when we saw the S&P Plus projections a few weeks ago with Tennessee in the top 25, and then ESPN's Football Power Index put Tennessee at number 15, both websites, Bill Connolly writing for SB Nation and then the ESPN piece, they singled out Tennessee as a team that stood out in their rankings and said, yeah, that's because just about everybody is returning. Now, there are some questions about a few players, like Trey Smith. Is he able to play right now? I think projections include him probably not being available. Drew Richmond left. He's a guy that was starting last year on the offensive line. And then you have Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright coming in, and that's part of it as well, that you have newcomers. But a lot of it is, a lot of those offensive linemen are back, so if they improve, offensive line should improve. Jarrett Garantano is back at quarterback. Ty Chandler is back. So is Marquez Callaway, Dominique Wood Anderson, Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer. I can keep going on the offensive side. And then on the defensive side, Tennessee has to replace the linemen up front, and then everybody else pretty much comes back for Tennessee. Mike Abernathy has gone at safety, but Tennessee, again, recruited well at that position and has some young talent returning. So a lot of Tennessee and its hope for a big step in 2019 is all of this experience from Jeremy Pruitt's first team in 2018 coming back, and the expectation that these players, with a better understanding of Jeremy Pruitt's system and culture and everything that he expects of the team, and then another year in the strength and conditioning program, which stays the same, thankfully for Tennessee, with Craig Fitzgerald, that by the time Tennessee hits the field in 2019, it should be a better team. The competition will be very tough as well, and that's something to keep in mind. I don't think anybody is saying Tennessee's going from 5-7 to 10-2 this upcoming year. Maybe there will be some people saying that by the time we get to August. Right now, I'm not hearing that, but a lot of people are saying Tennessee should be a much better team, and a lot of it's because of all the players that are coming back. And if Tennessee is a better team, if it's a much better team, then this time next year, we should be talking about a large number of Tennessee players at the NFL Draft Combine. Coming up on tomorrow's show, I'm also going to look at why Tennessee is in this kind of position where they don't have any players at the Combine, because that 2015 class was supposed to put a good number of players from Tennessee in the draft this year. That's obviously not happening. So that's coming up on tomorrow's show, reaction to the Tennessee-Ole Miss game, And it will be time to start looking ahead to Tennessee-Kentucky coming up on Saturday. That's coming up tomorrow on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for being here today. 5 days a week, I'm right here covering what's going on with Tennessee. I'll see you right here tomorrow.